You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. The Punt Podcast, in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for Manager of the Month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Welcome along, everyone, to the International Punt. My name's Lee Phelps. Got a certain sense of deja vu here. That's because we've done all this once already and the recording software crashed. Standing in for Dave Kellner, who is in New York celebrating his birthday. 40, why not? If you're 40, go and celebrate in New York. Well, happy birthday, DK, if you are listening. I'm sure Andy XL, who's here with me, would like to wish you happy birthday as well.
Yeah, happy birthday, Dave. He's the best-looking 40-year-old since I was that old.
And Derek McGovern, of course. You've only got good things to say about Dave Kellner on his birthday.
Yes, and I wish him happy birthday. The good thing about reaching 40 is you no longer have to worry about dying young then.
I love it. You've always got a very pleasant way of framing things. We're going to speak to our FWA colleague very soon. We're going to talk about the England-USA game with him and get the thoughts of Derek and our friend Sammy on whether showboating is a good thing or a bad thing. First of all, though, we're going to look at the home nations in action, friendlies and the Nations League as well. And we'll start with the England-USA friendly. Andy, before we started recording, we came into the studio and you were bristling about this. You weren't happy about this England-USA friendly. Not the match itself, but a certain Mr. Wayne Rooney, who seems to be getting a bit of a special treatment on this game.
Yeah, I don't mind him getting his 10 minutes at the end of the game or whatever. Don't make the game about him and give away soft caps. It's just, you know, we didn't give one to Bobby Moore, we didn't give one to Bobby Charlton, so why Wayne Rooney?
It's fair, Derek. Before we get into the betting on the game, it seems an odd thing to do, doesn't it? You know, we're kind of Wembley's being ripped up for the NFL, whatever you think about that. Now we're obviously, you know, helping, whether it's helping Wayne Rooney or helping the MLS, I'm not quite sure. But, you know, there seems to be a common denominator there that money is involved.
Well, yeah, and not only that, I mean, in a way, it backfires. I mean, this is supposed to be a sort of a guard of honour almost for Rooney, you know, in his last ever appearance for England. But in a way, it makes him more unpopular. People think, well, like Andy has just said, you know, why are we doing all this for Rooney? We never did it for previous legends. Well, he would say about Rooney, you know, he'll be ready for the game because form is temporary when it comes to him. Thatch is permanent.
Like it. Let's have a look at the match itself from a betting perspective. 1-4 England, USA 11-1, 9-2 the price for the draw. This USA team, who didn't qualify for the World Cup, lost the coach because of that. They're in a real rebuilding process. The results since then haven't been particularly special. Did beat Mexico by a single goal to nil, lost to Colombia 4-2 at home, drew 1-1 with Peru. It's all about which team takes the pitch, I guess, for England, Derek. If it was England's full strength team, you'd be looking for some value around the handicaps for England. But this US team, if they are rebuilding and they've got a few players, you know, spattered around Europe in the top divisions, they may put up a decent fight here.
Yeah, they're no mugs, and you only have to look at that result against Mexico. You know, to beat Mexico, we remember how they performed in the summer. To beat Mexico was no mean feat. They went 1-0 up, as you said, and then had to defend their lives afterwards. One of their defenders said it was like the Alamo out there. And you didn't laugh the first time I said that either, thankfully.
I snorted this time.
It was funnier the second time.
It was funnier the second time, actually. I was looking forward to it this time.
But USA, have been looking at their results. They don't do friendlies. They pretend it's a friendly, and then when you're not looking, they invade.
I hate
backing this USA because we all, you know, say what you like about the president. He's been, how long has he been in the job? 2 years, and he spent the last 18 months right now checks for porn stars, as far as I can see. It's not a country that you instantly warm to. But at 11-1, I almost am warming to them, because do you really want to back England at 1-4 when you read in the papers that, you know, Jadon Sancho's probably going to be starting, Callum Wilson? They might turn out to be great international players, but right now they're not. I wouldn't be wanting to back a team at 1-4 under those circumstances. So I'm going to go for USA with a 2-goal start. Remember, USA played Brazil in the summer, and, you know, they were rebuilding then and so on. They only got beat 2-0. Why not back them with a 2-goal start here? I think it's just under the even money mark. I like the look of that.
Yeah, 17-20 for USA plus 2. So you're getting the USA win, a draw, and a defeat by a single goal on your side there. Andy, which way are you looking at this?
Heading in the same direction. I think the US are take it more seriously in terms of what team they put out than England will. It's very much a case of maybe wait until you see the lineups. But as we stand at the moment, like Derek says, it's going to be an experimental England team, which may be good, may be awful. So there's a chance that they're awful and they're being priced as if they're good. So I'd be on the double chance at USA or the draw, which I think is just under 3-1.
Yeah, not often we play a double chance market. I do like it though. The draw or away. It's on the main match page there, 27-10. Decent. I know there's a lot to happen between now and when England play Croatia, chaps, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. England, of course, off the back of that win against Spain 3-2, to give them a chance of topping this group. It depends what happens between Croatia and Spain, which is the game being played on Thursday. But if that was a draw, Andy, England would go into the home match against Croatia with every chance of actually topping this group. And then I think if they topped it, and then you saw what happens after that, where you get into a semi-final process, and you know, that's when I think people would start to maybe get excited about the Nations League. England 17-20 at the minute before the Croatia match against Spain.
Yeah, you're very much waiting for that result, because that's going to decide what you're playing for. Are England playing to win the group or avoid relegation? So, you know, it's very much wait and see on that game. But 17-20 is probably all right at the moment, because I think Croatia are in a bit of a post-World Cup slump. So, you know, I just marginally give England favouritism at this stage.
Derek, what would your thoughts be? I know you're not going to have a bet on something across it before the other match has taken place, but just keen to get your thoughts on how much you're looking forward to the Nations League.
Well, this is what I keep hearing, the Nations League. We've got rid of all those meaningless friendlies, but the Nations League now proper football. And I keep hearing that, like I kept hearing in the summer, what they bought the best World Cup ever. And then when I ask people, you know, people I know, normal people, they don't give two monkeys about this thing.
Can't believe you know normal people.
And he didn't think the World Cup was that great either as well, by the way, like me. It's impossible to say now. There could be nothing at stake apart from the battle to avoid relegation. And in other words, nothing at stake on Monday night, or Sunday rather. But there could be an awful lot depending on how the game goes between Croatia and Spain on Thursday. What I would say is that 6-0 defeat from Croatia against Spain, yeah, it was, you know, this was a team that had reached the World Cup final only a couple of months or even a month earlier. But they were allowed that, I think. You know, if I was a Croatian player, I would have thought I'd have been allowed that one. You saw a lot more from them in a 0-0 draw against England in that behind closed doors international. I'd still say they were a better team than England, so certainly I wouldn't be backing England to beat them on Sunday.
Let's have a look at the friendly between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland next. This is on Thursday night in Dublin. Last time these two played each other was back in the Nations Cup, not the Nations League, when Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland and the Republic played each other. Republic smashed Northern Ireland 5-0 in that game. They've had pretty much the edge over them in previous matches back in the 90s as well. Northern Ireland's away record in friendlies is pretty poor. They haven't won a friendly away from home since 2006, when they beat Finland by 2-0. A few draws in there. They've drawn in Scotland, drawn with Wales, if that's kind of any kind of collateral form. The Republic haven't been in great form either recently, of course, losing to Wales 1-0. Drew with Denmark at home, beat USA in a friendly since the World Cup qualifying campaign. Interesting match, this one. I mean, I guess, you know, in terms of the prices, Derek, Republic of Ireland just a touch of odds against here, which might tempt a few people in. I'm half expecting Michel Barnier to be in the middle referee in this one, with talks of hard borders and hard Brexits and backstops and all the rest of it.
I just wonder who this Irish border is and how much he's paying for his keep. That's all I've heard about all the last 6 months. I look at this game, it's impossible to have a firm opinion on it, really. All I would say is that Northern Ireland have been goalless in four of their last six matches. In fact, for the last 10 years, I thought their full name was Northern Ireland nil. Republic have been goalless in three of their last six. It all points to one thing. Both nations have Ireland in their name. Both managers have O'Neill in their name. And both teams will have zero in their name after this one. I reckon 0-0 is the way to bait.
5-1, yeah. 0-0 draw. The draw itself is 21-10. Ireland are 11-10. Northern Ireland are 29-10, Andy. Again, it is a difficult one, isn't it? Because there's already talk, when you look in the media, you know, I've seen an interview with John Aldridge talking about it should be about the players, not the politics. There's always that rumbling around it somewhere, of course, because, you know, these are neighbouring countries with lots of history. I'm not sure in a friendly like this, you know, it's going to be supercharged, but there'll probably be a bit more of an edge than there would be to a any normal kind of friendly.
Possibly. You'd think it would be the most unfriendly friendly, with some Baltic nations probably throwing their hat in the ring for that title. But, the players all know each other now, and they play each other in the league every week, so it sort of, they become friendly with each other. So I don't expect it to be any antagonism here, but I'm with Derek on the draw, really. 0-0 or 1-1, neither team scores many, so always the draw in that case for me.
Let's have a look at some of the Nations League matches, and starting with the Wales-Denmark game. Wales 17-10, 21-10 the draw, and 7-4 for Denmark. Derek, I love these games when there's a bit of value everywhere. It's just a case of picking the right result, isn't it? We're told Bale will play. I mean, he had a bit of a knock last time he played for Real Madrid, but Wales are saying that he definitely will be fit to play in this one, which obviously is, from a punting point of view, that's all you really want to know. I mean, I know he isn't, you know, it's not a one-man team, but it's pretty much the closest thing you're going to get, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he is. It is a one-man team, isn't it?
They did beat Ireland without him, I suppose, in the last game, didn't they? But
yeah, but big deal. You could argue about the same for Denmark, by the way, with Christian Eriksen. Without him, you know, they're like, you know, 70% effective. It's impossible. This is when we were previewing this match, the recording went down, and at that time, I was going to go back to Denmark. I've changed now. I'm going to be back in Wales. That's how I feel about this game. I haven't got a clue. It's just impossible.
Derek, it stopped recording again. Can you go for the draw?
In fact, yeah.
It hasn't, by the way. I'm joking this time.
I know.
You'd have sworn at me, wouldn't you?
Low on the goals. I can't see it being a goal fest. And, you know, it is an important game, this. I'm not fully convinced by this tournament. But listening to all the comments from the players and the managers in the build-up, this seems like a proper international game with something at stake. And generally when you get that, you don't get goal fests. You get it, you know, very, very cagey games. So I'm going to go unders on the goals. It's the only way I can see it. It's the only way I'm confident of playing in this one.
The results wouldn't necessarily say this, Andy, but the chat from kind of, you know, players and the media surrounding Wales is that Ryan Giggs is starting to put something together here. I guess the result against Ireland would prove that. In fact, you know, they beat Republic of Ireland home and away. The Welsh, you know, the rest of the results haven't all been great. Got smashed to bits by Spain at home in a friendly, and were beaten by Denmark in Denmark 2-0. But there's a sense that, you know, they are starting to kind of, you know, the playing for the manager, and he's maybe doing a similar job to Mark Hughes way back when he was Welsh manager, that he's got the players. They respect him, obviously, because of what he's done in the game. Do you think they can get a result here?
Well, I hope his career doesn't follow the same path as Mark Hughes subsequently.
True, yeah.
I think he's almost, there's a bit of the Gareth Southgate model as well. He's bringing one or two youngsters into the team, and they seem to be bedding in nicely. So things are going in the right direction. But like Derek says, you can look at this game umpteen times and come up with a different conclusion, because it is an absolute each of two. You couldn't pick between the two of them. It's viewed as the Bale v Eriksen, but they have got one or two decent players on each side outside of that. You know, the likes of Aaron Ramsey and Christensen at the back for Denmark. Kasper Schmeichel's a good keeper. So there's some other good players in the game, but all you're going to talk about is Bale and Eriksen, and probably on the night, whichever superstar performs best will decide the game.
Yeah. Which way are you going then?
Sitting on the fence.
Draw.
Yeah, again, I can't pick, so just go with the draw.
21-10. It's the biggest price of those three. I said there was value, but that's the biggest price of the three, so you may as well go for that. Let's finish off with the game of the weekend, shall we? Albania versus Scotland. You're liking this, Derek. Group 1, League C. This is what it's all about, this one, isn't it? Albania, their record isn't great. One win in the last eight games, and that was against Israel at home in this competition, the Nations League. They lost to Scotland in Scotland, drew with Jordan in a friendly, and then lost to Israel 2-0. Then you look at Scotland's form, and it looks pretty much the same, really. They beat that win against Albania, was their only win in their last seven, and not even a draw in there either. The defeat to Portugal 3-1, the defeat to Israel before the win against Albania, they got beaten 4-0 by Belgium. Maybe no shame in that, but 4-0 is a bit strong at home. There's not much good to say about Scottish football, Andy, at the moment, is there? On a national level, anyway. I wouldn't like to comment on the domestic stuff. But they should be winning this, shouldn't they? This is a game that, you know, sure, I mean, I know it's away in Albania, and you wouldn't be filled full of confidence, but you'd be pretty disappointed if you didn't come away with at least a draw here. The 29-20, they are the favourites here. Albania 2-1, 21-10, the draw. I mean, 29. Could you back Scotland at 29-20?
I'd have to force myself, and I might just manage to do it, but in a different way. Albania have got a terrible record scoring goals. I think they've got about three in their last 12 or something stupid. So Scotland, if you were having to back Scotland, which I think I might be forced into, them to win to nil is 5-2.
Right.
So, yeah. The best thing you say about this game is that it's the group below Northern Ireland and Republic of Ireland, which, having just slaughtered them, that tells you where we are.
Yeah. Israel have got 6 points and top this group. Scotland on three, Albania on three. Derek, wow.
Yeah, I know. This group is so bad that I think Louis Walsh would mentor it. I mean, that's how bad it is. I've been reading about Albania, because it gets a bad press, Albania, especially from me. But only 21% of humans are classed as obese in Albania, and that compares with Scotland, where only 21%. The low levels of obesity are down to a Mediterranean diet. I was reading this in Google. Most of Scotland haven't tried that. Albania managed to lose 3-0 to Kosovo. That's the first clue how bad they are, Lee. The second clue, they lost 2-0 to Scotland. I watched that game. Albania were inferior in every department. And I speak as someone, as you know, with an inferiority complex, although not a very good one. That was the only one of the last six matches Scotland haven't lost. That gives you an idea how bad Albania are. So I'm going to do something I never thought I'd do. I'm going to back Scotland. And I'm not even going to borrow money to do so. The 29-10, I like that. I think they'll go to Albania and win.
I wish there were 29-20, but still well worth. If you follow Derek's thoughts, well worth a bet there. That's it for the home nations, guys. There's a few other interesting games around. I think, you know, there's Holland against Germany. Obviously, they beat Germany in the last game. I think Brazil are playing Uruguay. There's Italy, Portugal, France are in action. There's some decent matches. Before we started recording the first time, Derek, you said you had an absolute stonking bet for your nap this week. I haven't got the naps table to bring to people, unfortunately. It wasn't left out for me. I think that's mainly because DK doesn't want anyone to see his picks. You had some winners early in the season, Derek. I remember that.
I had one losing nap last week, that's all.
Yeah, you've
given me a chance.
Yeah, you're as good as your last game.
I've got a winner here, yeah. You said Germany-Holland. It's Germany-Russia, isn't it, on Thursday? Because that's my game I'm going for.
Oh, right. Okay,
yeah. Friendly, yeah. On Thursday night. Germany are terrible. They're just going nowhere. They're 3-10 to beat Russia. Why on earth would you back that? Russia are 9-1. Now, I'm not going to go for the Russians at 9-1, even though I half fancy it. But Russia with a two-goal start, 4-5. I mean, that is just buying rubles.
Nice. What's your nap, Andy?
I've gone down to the bottom of the barrel here. I'm in League D of Nations League.
What?
Georgia are playing Andorra. In Andorra.
Wow.
Georgia playing Andorra.
Yeah, the 2-7. I can't wait
Andorra
for
Andorra just never score a goal. Georgia have won all four games in the group without conceding a goal. So Georgia minus a goal is evens. So that's it against Andorra.
Wow. What price was your Russia plus two, Derek?
4-5. This is going to be a big price.
Yeah, well, I know I'm laughing about Andy's pick there, but I'm also in UEFA Nations League D. I'm going for Azerbaijan to beat Faroe Islands at 6-10. Azerbaijan beat Faroe Islands 3-0 in Faroe, wherever they play, on one of the Faroe Islands, and they're 6-10 to win at home. So I'm going for Azerbaijan to win at 6-10. What an absolute Bobby Dazzle that is. Can you believe
actually, if that treble comes up, you actually lose money.
This will be the height, won't it, of our tipping if this actually happens. Unbelievable.
You're only back in Azerbaijan because the Faroe Islands are all at sea.
Very nice. I'm just looking for this Russia price. When is that, Derek? On Thursday night, that game?
Yes. Am I looking at the wrong one?
No, you might be right.
Yeah, games up.
I think you're probably right. I'm just scrolling down looking for it. Germany, Russia, and you're going for Russia plus two. I'm just desperate to put this acca together, so this treble together, so I can see what price it pays. Russia plus two. If I had a drum roll, I'd be. There we go. The treble pays about 5-1. But if you're logged into your William Hill account or on your app and you get the bet boost, that'll boost that up a little bit to somewhere near sixes, I reckon. So that's Azerbaijan to win, Georgia minus a goal, and Russia plus two, paying about 5-1 normal price and getting up to 6-1 for your bet boost price.
Get it on it this time because you're never going to hear that again.
Wow, that's a fine treble. I like that. It's one of those where you just have to have a bet on that, I think. Andy, thanks very much for your time.
Pleasure.
We're going to stick around and speak to our guest from the FWA in a couple of seconds.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
Well, it's time to welcome our guest from the Football Writers Association to this part of the podcast. Derek McGovern's still with us, and it's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast football reporter from the Daily Mail, Sammy Mockbell. Hi, Sammy, how are you doing?
Chaps, how are you?
Yeah, very good, thank you, very good. We'll get your thoughts on England-USA before we let you go, but we wanted to just pick up on a couple of the stories in the news this week. First of all, showboating. Chaps, Raheem Sterling doing a little bit of showboating in the Manchester derby, got matters back up for a start, and a few people in the media have been complaining about it, mainly ex-players. My view is that it should be encouraged, not you shouldn't be poo-pooing it. Derek, I imagine in your amateur days you're always telling us about what kind of player you were. You'd done a bit of showboating, wouldn't you?
Too right, and it should be encouraged. If it's Man United, you showboat again. I mean, that's what they're there for. The last time I looked, football was an entertainment business. Last time I looked, it cost me 80 quid to do so as well, by the way. I mean, it should be encouraged. You hear people like Gary Neville, when you see managers squaring up on a touchline, oh, you don't want to see that. Shut up, Ratface. We do want to see it. It was absolutely fantastic to watch it. And I'm not sure whether Juan Mata was going over there to give Sterling a piece of his mind, or given that it was Alexis Sanchez and Marouane Fellaini he was showboating against, he wanted to join in with them. I thought it was fantastic. It was a great City performance, and that put the cap on it. It was marvellous.
Yeah, no Manchester United fan could really complain, Sammy, when we think back to what Cristiano Ronaldo used to do. I suppose the interesting thing is that Pep Guardiola was the one who kind of called Sterling out a bit. I mean, maybe he's just towing the party line, but what's your view on a bit of showboating?
Yeah, I'm slightly torn on this one. Like with Derek, I agree with the sentiments that supporters pay a lot of money to go to games, and thus should players have got a duty, as it were, to entertain. And I thought that was the essence of what Raheem Sterling was trying to do, given that obviously the game was already sewn up and won, so he could afford to do it, but. Equally, is there an element of disrespect in doing that? And perhaps that was what Pep Guardiola was coming over to tell Raheem, and after the game. But on the whole, I'm kind of leaning towards not having a problem with it, because at the end of the day, that's what we want to see. We want to be entertained. We want the players to express themselves. So essentially, if And that's what Raheem Sterling has done in this situation. And then, if we're now criticising him for expressing himself and then showing his ability on the biggest stage, in a Manchester derby, then it's like, what is this world kind of coming to?
To be fair, Raheem Sterling could score a hat-trick for England in the World Cup final, go to a children's hospital and spend the rest of the week there helping out and giving £3 million to each child. And we'd still criticise him, wouldn't we, to be fair? So he can't do right, can he, Raheem Sterling?
That's an altogether different show, though, isn't it?
Yeah, true. The other subject I wanted to touch upon, guys, is that often on this podcast, Derek, we'll say, especially if it's two big teams together, maybe you'd done it for the Manchester Derby, or we might do it, you might do it for Manchester City, Liverpool, which players would get into the opposing team? City are looking that good at the minute, only 2 points clear, albeit at the top of the table, but looking that good at the minute that I got to thinking, which player from the Premier League full stop would get in the Man City team at the moment? Who would get would anyone move one of their squad players out, their first 11, their perfect first 11 out of the starting lineup, Derek?
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about it. If Man City played England on Thursday night instead of USA, it was Man City playing England. England are 1-4, I think, for that game. City would be 1-4, wouldn't it, to beat England?
Yeah.
And it would do so convincingly. And I've been trying to work out where would be the likely contenders. Maybe in goal, maybe someone might argue for David De Gea, although maybe not on this season's form. You wouldn't be dislodging the right back, Kyle Walker. I'd have John Stones in my team any day of the week. So maybe there's a place for centre-half there, and obviously I'd have to give Van Dijk the nod there because he's been tremendous for Liverpool. Left-back Mendy, someone might get in front of him. The only after the back four, you're looking at the only one who definitely would be a shoo-in would be Eden Hazard. After that, nobody else. I wouldn't say Harry Kane, no. Ericsson, no. I wouldn't give a game to any of the others.
Eden Hazard is the 2-1 favourite to be the PFA Player of the Year, by the way. Silva, 132nd favourite, then Aguero, 9-1, Salah, 10-1. Interestingly enough, on the PFA Player of the
Year... Salah, 10-1? Yeah. Why? There's the zero broken on the keyboard.
Sammy, Derek's obviously a staunch Liverpool fan, but he's not a big fan of Salah. It's an interesting dichotomy that we've not quite got to the bottom of yet. The PFA Young Player of the Year, Raheem Sterling is the 2-1 favourite there. Bernardo Silva, 5-1. Richarlison, 7-1. James Maddison, 9-1. 10-1 and bigger. So City occupying the top two in that one, and second and third in the Player of the Year stakes. Sammy, what were your thoughts on this? Which players from the Premier League would get into that Man City team at the moment?
Derek's already mentioned the two that immediately spring to mind, Van Dijk and Hazard. They're both fantastic players. But even then, you're thinking, well, do they play every week? Does Hazard dislodge a Sterling? Does he dislodge a Sane? Maybe, maybe not. A Mahrez. He'd start some games and come off the bench other games, which is astonishing, really, given it's, Eden Hazard, one of the best players to ever have played in the Premier League. But that's just how good Manchester City are at the moment, aren't they? Their squad's full of international fantastic talent, and it's hard to see how and where, anywhere in the world, that Pep Guardiola and Manchester City can go and strengthen the squad, because at the moment it's like a steam train just rolling sort of straight forward to the title.
I said the 2 points clear at the top there, 1-10, drawn 2, lost none, scored 36 goals, conceded 5.
The goal difference is phenomenal at this point of the season, and I know people point to the points difference, saying it's only 2 points, it's only one game essentially, but you look at the goal difference and it just sort of amplifies and underlines how good their start has been, and if it was at all possible, they look stronger this season than they were last year, which is a frightening prospect.
There's 5 points between Tottenham in fourth and City in top there. Liverpool's record, 1-9, drawn 3, lost none, scored 23, conceded 5, so the defence is exactly the same, just haven't matched them in terms of goal scoring. Chelsea, 1-8, drawn 4, lost none, conceded 8, scored 27, so scored more than Liverpool. And then Tottenham, 1-9, drawn none, lost 3, scored 20, conceded 10. Derek, from a betting point of view, City are 2-7 to win the title, Liverpool 4-1, Chelsea 16-1. I know we probably all think City will win the title, but is there a touch of value there if you're a betting person? With City, you imagine City would go furthest in the Champions League?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they've they've got to quit messing around in the Champions League now, City. If they want to be classed as a proper team, they've got to do it there. And I think a lot of their focus will be on it. Because I think deep down at City, they know they've got the title wrapped up already. I know it's only 2 points ahead, but they're comfortably the best side in the Premier League, and they will win it. They'll wrap it up sooner or later. The one thing, if you're looking from a Liverpool point of view, they're only 2 points behind after a tough fixture list. And Liverpool have been appalling this season. I've seen basically every one of their games, and they've been shocking. And I can't believe this is their best ever Premier League start. They're on form. It's a long way from that. And yet they're only 2 points behind. So you could argue they're only going to get better. Whereas City, it's hard to see them getting better. So yeah, if people want to make a case for Liverpool on that point, I'd find that hard to argue with. But then it just comes down to the fact that City are better in virtually every position. So yeah, they'll win it. You know, 2-7. It's a long way, long time to wait, isn't it, for your money back on a 2-7 poll, but that's what you'll be getting, you know, your money back and more.
Yeah. Sammy, before we let you go, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the England-USA friendly. We were talking when we did the betting part of the podcast, like predicting the actual results, and which Derek's legendary at, by the way. You didn't get to hear that part of it, but I'd encourage you to listen back. Sammy, England, USA, what do you make of the Rooney coming back, albeit as a substitute? One of our other guests, Andy XL, was saying that, you know, some of the legendary England players of the past never got that kind of benefit of you know, whether it is a, you know, a benefit, kind of testimonial, if you like. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with it, if I'm being honest. I cover England. I'll be going to Gareth Southgate's press conference at St George's Park yesterday, and I'll be going to the game tomorrow. And you're right, I think, you know, you have to start somewhere, I suppose, and the FA are sort of hinting at this is going to become a regular occurrence perhaps moving forward. But, you know, there are players not too sort of far behind Wayne Rooney, the likes of Gerrard and Lampard, who made a massive contribution to the international scene. And do we go back that far, and do we give those guys a testimonial? You know, where do you start, where do you finish? And I just think playing for England, getting an international cap, is the pinnacle for any football player, and to hand one out so nonchalantly and so easily, it just doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah, and I suppose the thing for Rooney is that we kind of tend to forget the records that he holds in terms of, you know, the all-time goal scoring record. It just doesn't seem to, maybe looking, you know, when people look back in 20 years, he'll be held in greater esteem than he is at the moment, and maybe we're being a little bit short-sighted about that, but it just doesn't sit right at the moment, does it, for some reason?
No.
Yeah, but you know, for his sake, hopefully he gets on, nicks a penalty off Kane, and everyone goes home happy.
Yeah, no. But listen, it would be a fitting end if he could score on his final game for England. But I'm not so sure. He's not going to be on the pitch for very. I don't know what the odds are on him scoring tomorrow night. But he's not going to be on the pitch very long. So unless it is a penalty and I get a late penalty, then I'm not sure he will get on the. He'll be able to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, they're talking already about him coming on as a second half substitute, aren't they? I think so. It'd be interesting to see if, in terms of him scoring, he's 4-1 to score first, 4-1 last, 5-4 to score any time, which seems particularly skinny. But once it's confirmed, there might be a few specials around Rooney getting a goal on his final appearance. We shall see. Sammy, thanks very much for your time. Pleasure having you on.
Cheers, fellas.
You can check out Sammy's work in the Daily Mail, of course. Check out all the Football Writers Association stuff on the website, footballwriters.co.uk. And we'll have one of the FWA chaps on next week as well. Derek, thanks for your time as ever. Pleasure having you
on. Pleasure.
We'll speak to Derek next week with the Premier League back in action. For now, though, we're going to have a look at the League One and League Two naps with Gaff P and Al Ross.
I try every week with my League One nap to find something evens or better, but there's a 4-6 I quite simply cannot ignore, and I think if I did, I'd kick myself, and people may kick me on your behalf. But Peterborough at 4-6 at home to Bradford. Pardon? 4-6? For me, personally, they should be way shorter than that. You could look at Peterborough 1-3, 1-4 against this Bradford City side. Bradford City in League One, last 15 games, 12 defeats. And Bradford City have got 10 points out of 17 games. If you triple the amount of points that Bradford have got this season, they're still 3 points behind Peterborough, who are third. I know Peterborough's home form is iffy at home, but Peterborough, third best side in League One, 4-6 at home against the worst side in League One. I cannot and I will not ignore it. They're my nap at 4-6. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
On the season preview, I said I couldn't understand why the Traders had made Notts County title favourites. A bad start, Kevin Nolan was gone. In comes Harry Kuehl. At a fair cost, he's been sacked too. When Kuehl arrived, they had this bounce where they got 11 points in 5 league games. They've only got 14 points all season. And against this backdrop, they host Cheltenham, the team below them in the league, but their only wins have been on the road, and they were scuppered in the 93rd minute by a Mansfield equaliser last week, having had 6 shots on target to Mansfield's 3. Now, Notts County have also picked up points in their last 2 league games, but across both of those games, they had 3 shots on target, and their opponents, both of whom are bottom half sides, had 16. And that's not talking about Notts County's 4-0 thrashing at Barnsley in the FA Cup either. Whereas in all competitions, Cheltenham's recent form line 1-2, drawn 2 in the last 4. Hosts are even money. That is a mad price. Cheltenham are the nap at 5-2.
Excellent. Thank you, chaps. Don't forget, full programmes in League One and League Two, of course. We'll be covering all those on In Play Radio, as well as all the international football over the weekend. So make sure you tune in, inplayradio.co.uk. For now, it's goodbye from me. We'll be back on Monday for a midweek international punt with the England-Croatia game previewed and a few others as well. We'll also be back next week, of course, as usual, for the Premier League. Alex Dunn back in this chair with Derek McGowan, Andy XL, and a guest from the FWA, plus Gav, Al and Pete, plus a Euro nap as well. So all that to come next week. In the meantime, don't forget, check out your daily bet boost on the football. All you have to do is log in, have a bet with a treble or bigger, and you'll see that can automatically be boosted. Loads of enhanced odds available as well, so plenty to get stuck into at williamhill.com or on the app. If you're having a bet on the international football or the domestic action in League One or League Two, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.